Reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, text 63. Sri Dana Nastika Charitam Nashravaniyam. One should not find entertainment in news, the opposite sex, money, and atheists. Purport, Narada said that a bhakta may discharge his duties in the world as long as he's God-centered and offers the result of his work to the Lord in devotional service. While living in the world, he must avoid sinful life and persons who indulge in it. See Sutras 43 and 44. Now he says we should avoid not only associating with sinful persons, but even hearing about them. If we want to be free from illusion, we cannot take Narada's advice lightly or dismiss it as old-fashioned. Maya is not a lightweight contender. She has been placed in charge of imprisoning all the conditioned souls in the universe, and some of her principal weapons are indicated in this sutra, sex, wealth, and atheism. With a healthy respect for her power, we should give a wide berth the Mayic talks concerning these topics. Om Gyana Chimarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Taksurin Mudatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Paidacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls on July 4th, Independence Day. Those of you who know where I live in a barn, and that's in the back of a house, and on either side there's houses. A kind of a big courtyard where it seems the social functions happen, so we're having a 4th of July kirtan and get together, and nice, and people from Woodstock have come, and there's a few people, but it's kind of nice to see the different people, devotees there. So, in the middle, and that's the austerity of the Wednesday program for me, sometimes I'm at a function or something, and I have to leave, but I'm very, very committed and dedicated to these sanghas, and it's just if you do something for a while and you do it steady, then maybe Krishna sees your sincerity and reciprocates. But I know that many, many, many people, I get letters all the time, are listening to these sanghas. So we've discussed grades of bhakti, and what is the highest bhakti, what is the mixed bhakti. The highest bhakti is recommended, but it doesn't mean renunciation. we're in the world. So beginning with text 61, it was describing our interaction with the world. Well, the first thing is the devotee doesn't worry about mundane affairs. It doesn't mean he neglects his duty. That's very clear. But he doesn't unnecessarily worry about them because he has faith. He's surrendered, and the symptom of surrender is faith. Faith in Krishna's maintenance and Krishna's protection. Faith in taking the humble position. Faith in surrendering to God fully. Faith in doing things that are favorable for your spirit of devotion and faith in giving up those things that are unfavorable. So we have that faith, and it's a basic spiritual faith, trust of one in the world and one in God's creation, that if you act in coordination with God's creation, if you perform dharma, if you do what's right, you're protected. We're not the doer. There's five factors in action, and one is the endeavor. So we do our endeavor, but we don't have to over-endeavor because the result is not based on our over-endeavor. Our result is based on our endeavor and other factors like the super soul, the time, and the place, and so many other things. You may work so hard and nothing comes. You may not work and something may come. I mean, so if you surrender, don't worry about other duties that may be less prioritized or even neglected. And because even if you fall short, then there's nothing lost. And as Prabhupada would quote, Christ said, what profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So surrender to God, why worry about anything else? Surrender to God also means to be responsible according to your duties. Somehow all of us have gone through our tribulations and we've all survived as Krishna's devotees. I don't know any devotee who's destitute, or if he was, then he wants to accept his Krishna mercy. But I'm seeing, as Prabhupada said, the elephant is getting its tons of hay, and the ant is getting its grains of sugar. So, your main duty, the main duty is to connect with God, and all of the duties are meant to help one assist to that. So that prime duty of surrender to Krishna, sarva dharmam pritya ja mame kam sharanam vija hum tuam sarva pape go moksha shami. Of surrender to Krishna, the prime duty, don't worry, masuchaha, masuchaha. He will protect you of any sin or neglect of any other duties in the course of that main duty. But 62, don't be a pseudo-renunciate. It's not your duties to artificially renounce your duties. Because they're also connected with the higher endeavor of Krishna consciousness by stabilizing one mentally, physically, and socially. So you don't have to leave the world. You're not recommended to leave the world. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean that the work becomes the worship. And it doesn't mean that it takes priority over one's spiritual vows. That's the priority. Prema is the priority. Things that we do for prema is the priority. Other things are secondary, not to be neglected. But the secondary duties do not become our worship. That's something I took a note to read the last paragraph. Surrendered devotee, therefore, does not worry about his worldly situation, nor does he support mundane welfare causes. But to satisfy Lord Chaitanya and the spiritual masters descending from him in disciplic succession, he works magnanimously on behalf of all living beings by spreading Krishna consciousness. So now, it recommends you surrender to Krishna. That's the priority. But you're not to, that does not mean, don't misunderstand it, the mean to renounce your duties. You have to engage with the world. But be careful. You have to be careful. Engage in the world, but be careful. I like this sentence by Prabhupada when I was reading it. One second. Maya is not a lightweight contender. So you can't take this lightly. You know, really, the world today gives access to images and information in a way that was never before available about sex, about wealth, and about atheism. Thoughts of sex, reading about it, thinking about it, looking at it, it just produces passion, which creates a disturbed mind, the spiritual life. Wealth, that desire and reading about wealth and admiring wealth creates greed. Hearing atheistic viewpoints, which are subtly imbued, it creates doubt or disbelief. So, it previously recommended you avoid those who are the shy, whose objectives are a sense gratification. We can take sense gratification, enjoyment to live, not live to enjoy. I say it many, many times. It should not be your objective, and people have that objective. It's bad association. You're not only associated, but you don't hear from them. It's a razor's edge. Main impediments to bhakti. This is all in the Upadeshamrita, one of the main impediments to bhakti. Mundane talks are also known as prajalpa. The internet is prajalpa. It destroys bhakti. And bhakti is the goal of life. To fill the heart with devotion and love, and that type of happiness is the goal of life. This stuff destroys it. The whole material civilization is like putting acid on our spiritual life. Rupa Goswami mentions prajapa as one of the main impediments to devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami A devotee should avoid reading or hearing newspapers or mundane books that contain stories of love affairs between men and women or subjects palatable to the senses. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22.120. When you do this, it creates impressions that make you want to do it more. You get conditioned. I think what conditioned means, it means that you get programmed. That's what conditioned means. You get programmed to respond to different things in different modes. Mundane talks are known as prajalpa. The Upadeshamrita Srila Rupa Goswami mentions prajalpa. Okay, so the main impediments were filled today. In the modern age, these injunctions have become more difficult than ever to follow. The airwaves are filled with prajalpa. By pressing a button, we can turn on a television set and plunge ourselves into a visual and aural phantasmagoria. While writing his purport from the Bhagavatam verses describing the life of Ajamil, Srila Prabhupada responded to our predicament. Ajamil was a pious young Brahmin, but one day while traveling along the public way, he came upon a low-class man embracing a prostitute and was overcome by lust. Prabhupada writes, now, I remember there were certain verses in the Bhagavatam and purports that I used to highlight, and this was one of them. In Kali Yuga, a drunken, half-naked woman embracing a drunken man is a very common sight, especially in the Western countries, and restraining oneself after seeing such things is difficult. Nevertheless, if by the grace of Krishna, a person adheres to the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will certainly protect them. Bhagavatam 6160 purport. So the story of Ajamil was, is that he was a pure Brahmin, but he somehow saw a Sudran Sudrani embracing and became attached to the prostitute. The Prabhupada says the protection is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and adhering to certain principles. You know, I was in New York on Monday with Puri John Prabhu just for the day. We did many things, but we went to Ram Roy's Kirtan. And it's, you know, it's wild what's out there. And then the devotees just chanting so nicely in the midst of it. It creates a bhav, creates a mood or a taste that exposes the other types of tastes that are around you constantly there, which are pale in comparison. Because they have a kind of sensual stimulation, but you don't see the mood of love behind it. Kirtan creates a bhava. It creates a mood of love. And when a drop of that love touches your heart, that becomes more attractive than anything else. So therefore, Prabhupada in the purport aptly recommends satsang, community of devotees, and that's what I try to provide here. by Prabhupada's grace, let's hope the Krishna consciousness movement, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavatam Yati, the Sangha of that, the Sangha of that love of Krishna. Let us pray that it spreads all over the world so that there's the association of good devotees everywhere. I know it's, in one sense it's strange, but it's very fortunate to live in New York for the Sangha. For the Sangha. Those who are dedicated to the holy name, there's many. We cannot expect to follow Prabhupada's advice in a vacuum. Unless we have Krishna conscious friends to talk with and a society of devotees to live in, we might conclude it's impossible to avoid hearing talks of sex, money, and atheists. What am I supposed to do? Live in a cave? No. This is precisely one of the reasons Srila Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to give everyone an opportunity to hear Krishna Katha in the society of devotees. So that's essential. Kirtan's the most important thing, but Krishna Katha is also kirtan. And if the kirtan's not accompanied by Krishna Katha, then there's Srila Bhakti Siddhanta described that, like in Bengal, there could be kirtan without the Krishna Katha, but the understanding, the philosophical understanding, then people could get a cheap understanding. Sahaja. Lord Kapila states in the Bhagavatam, 325:25, Satam Prasangam Mamadir Yasham Pado Vavanti Yit Karna Vasayana Katha Najoshanat Asha Pabhagavat Mani Sadha Vatiya Bhaktiya Anukramishiti. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in a society of devotees, and it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens to him, and gradually he attains firm faith and in due course develops into attraction and devotion. So Satam Pushangam, the association of devotees, then what happens with that, Bhavanti, then Ritkarna, Rasayana Katha, this medicine of the holy names and the Krishna Katha comes. And then at that time, three things happen. Shraddha, Hrutya, Bhakti. Anukramashila. Just as one is eating, three things happen simultaneously. The pain of hunger is gone. The satisfaction of the food is there. And the pleasure of eating is there. So in the same way. So the point's going to be that you're living in the world and what to do. So it's very practical here. You have to give up hearing about these things. But the practicality is you can't give up hearing about these things unless you're connected with a society that is based on Hari Katha. And I think this is really, really important. Not just every class is introductory, but there's Prem Bhakti. There's discussions of Krishna in Vrindavan, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's rasa. There's this expression of love in poetics that touches your heart. Otherwise, you gravitate towards the other things. So So Prabhupada says our campaign in the our weapons, the campaign against Prajalpa and mind pollution may include novels, dramas, paintings, films, musical recordings, festivals, formal lectures, seminars, casual meetings. All the media, all the means must be used to propagate, because people are going to want dramas and art and films and music. You can't leave a void. You just have to have music about pure love, which is very attractive. Bhakti is an aesthetic experience. This is like from studying Natya Shastra, the Shastra of Drama, and understanding how Rupa Goswami analyzed it and came to the understanding that the Bhagavatam is a perfect Shastra, Rasa Shastra, a perfect Shastra of the expression of an aesthetic experience. But the aesthetic experience expressed in the Bhagavatam was pure devotion and love. And that description of Krishna Leela and Krishna's pastimes and Gaur Leela is a description of not just an activity and an exchange between people, but it's an expression of what they're feeling, which is an overwhelming experience of bhakti. Overwhelming experience of bhakti. And when you meet someone who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, they are experiencing that. Why should the forces of illusion possess all the weapons and not the devotee? Next verse. Abhiman dhamba dikam jajam. One should give up false pride, hypocrisy, and other vices. So even if one is strict and strictly avoids a satsang, tyag, a Vaishnava achar, that one gives up a satsang, one gives up the bad association, a satsang jag, a Vaishnava achar. Even if one gives up the bad association, one can still become proud. It's so subtle. Because ultimately, what one is trying to give up is pride. A sense of independence, a lack of dependence on God. A conception of entitlement and the illusion of control and enjoyment. A self-centeredness, a self-absorption. That's material consciousness. Spiritual consciousness is the platform of humility. Humility means loving dependence. We're dependent. On a force, entity, person greater than ourselves, who is the totality of existence and is the source of our existence, consciousness, and ultimately happiness. So we're dependent. But it's a loving dependence. It's not a forced dependence. Like a child for the mother. The child is dependent. That dependence is an expression of love. And it fills the heart with the happiness of love. So that's bhakti. Can't separate bhakti from humility. It's the foundation of bhakti. It's the entrance of bhakti. It's commensurate or equal with bhakti. You can't think of someone who's advanced humility is a self-conception. It's a feeling. It's a happiness. It's a self-conception that I am dependent on God. It's also a realization or experience of that. There's such a natural relationship with the ultimate reality and such a sweet feeling of love. Naturally, for the mercy and kindness that's constitutionally emanating from that absolute reality to nourish and sustain our existence. So even the name of bhakti, even the name of detachment, one can claim a certain proprietorship for the gifts that God bestowed on one in a way that makes one feel independent of God and fosters the consciousness of moving to the center to enjoy and control. Now Narada advises that trait of Narada has used the word adi, etc., to include other vices, such as the demoniac, purport. Maya is so subtle that even if one is able to avoid hearing about sex, money, and atheists, and even if one joins a society of devotees, one may still become a victim of pride and hypocrisy. One may think, I am a better devotee than the others, and thus prepare oneself for a fall. The remedy for pride is to remember that our good fortune, including our spiritual assets, are all due to the mercy of the Supreme Lord and the Spiritual Master. Remedy of pride. It's not ours. The assets we have are not ours, except the volition and will to love and serve God, which God may facilitate, but the assets, the accoutrements, the instruments of that service are not ours. And therefore, if we have something good, it is only mercy, and it should make us love God more. Narada used the word adi, etc., to include other vices, such as the demoniac traits listed in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. All of these should be avoided. One should become aware of specific bad habits and try to eliminate them. And therefore, Narada and the Acharyas often give detailed instruction. We can examine each anartha and see what we can do to renounce it. when we catch ourselves indulging in unwanted thoughts or acts, we should stop them as soon as possible. So there's some type of gap, some type of understanding. We hear about it, that this is an art of value, an art of no value. No value to what? To that objective. What is the objective? The objective is Dharma. The objective is to act according to our essence or purpose and feel satisfied, nourished, and fulfilled. Today is Independence Day. But you cannot become independent outside of your constitution. And that's not the Declaration of Independence or the U.S. Constitution. You can't become independent. You can't become free outside of your constitution. A fish is not free out of water. The fish has the freedom to go out of water. It's not freedom. It's bondage. As soon as you step out of your constitution, there is a reaction to it of suffering and disconnect and lack of meaning and lack of value. That's why humility is knowledge. Humility is to understand the constitution, to understand our nature, which is not significant. But to be happy because it has purpose in connection with the absolute reality. And the example is given of the hand. The hand is dependent on the body. The hand is not the body. The hand is part of the body. Outside of that conception, it's disconnected from all value, meaning, and nourishment. So outside of the conception of our constitution as part of God, and thus dependent on God, like the hand, the hand is part. It's always meant to serve the body and the dictates of the body. Oh, my foot is dirty. The hand washes the foot. I have a pain in my calf. The hand massages the calf. The universal desire of God, the body of God, we're meant to cooperate with that. And in the service of that and its desires and the will, then our nourishment is there, our purpose is there, our energy is there. So when things do not have value, we should identify them. But ultimately what's mentioned here is the holistic approach is recommended, that by the prosecution of bhakti yoga, then the desires and unwanted habits, and that's true. If you just try by your intellect to say this is bad, you'll have very, very little ability to actually control it. But if you actually get a taste of Krishna consciousness, you're actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness. You're actually happy in Krishna consciousness. Then your heart is filled. And the heart is where the satisfaction is. One may do so many things and have so many vices, but ultimately it's because of the satisfaction of heart that one is seeking happiness. It's unfortunate one takes shelter in the wrong thing. unfortunately, one takes shelter in the wrong thing. When you take shelter in God, in a loving relationship with God, and one's heart is filled with happiness, then one can control his senses. So does anyone have any questions? Would anyone else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, it's amazing that you're always on the classes, you know. I was really wondering today, because I figure, you know, on the 4th of July, Wednesday, everyone's having a picnic or, you know, something going on, you know. Sometimes, you know, maybe some program is going on. So it's nice that people are still listening. How can I help, Gail?
Well, I mainly just wanted to say hello.
Hello, Gail. Hello. Hare Krishna.
But I was toying with the idea of asking you to... I mean, I think it was getting clearer as you were speaking, but I was toying with the idea of asking you to elaborate on this concept of not neglecting your material duties, but at the same time making sure that your spiritual duties, take priority. You know, let me think how I wanted to word this question. I think I just needed more of a concrete example of
I got it. Right. We have spiritual practice, right? Some spiritual practice, right? I can see the subtlety of it. We have some spiritual practice, and we sometimes have material duties, you know, taking care of so many things. But really, the spiritual life is a priority. It doesn't mean we neglect our dharma. You know, I guess maybe there's a situation, obviously, where one's in an emergency and the house is on fire and, you know, there's so many things and, you know, you don't sit down and just chant Hare Krishna maybe and do your japa or something like that. In that situation, maybe self-preservation is the first principle in one sense. So I can see that. So I'm not trying to say that one should neglect self-preservation on the mitzvah. But it's usually that's a kind of like a false dilemma, because that's not the question. So it's a fact, we have to maintain ourselves, and that's there. So that's a given. But beyond that, the priority is our spiritual life. Beyond that, the priority is our spiritual life. That's what I meant.
Yeah, you just repeated what you said, but I think I just needed like a concrete example of when, you know, the neglect, not the purposeful neglect, but, you know, not artificial neglect, but when the neglect of your material duties is okay because of your effort to, because, you know, actually, I mean, I think we're supposed to try our best to do both as properly as possible. But, you know, when is the neglect of the material, you know, like,
well,
I just
made the point that we shouldn't neglect our material necessities.
No, not on purpose.
We shouldn't neglect our material necessities. But beyond that, our priority should be spiritual life. You know,
maybe the question is, when is it too much, you know? When is the spiritual too much, you know? I think that's probably my question.
I didn't say the spiritual too much.
When does it become, when there's
a fire in the house and your child is suffocating of smoke and you decide to chant your Gayatri, your new Gayatri. Okay?
I just meant not life and death, you know. I guess probably too much as if the neglect of your material is putting you in anxiety and then affecting your focus. Maybe that's too much. If it's affecting your focus on the spiritual.
You have to take enough to keep body and soul together. That's a fact. So I'm happy to revise my initial statement in this way, that you have to take care of the material to keep the body and soul together for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. So now if you want a particular example where you neglect beyond that, you know, I don't know. I mean, beyond the basic necessities, one should keep their spiritual duties. I guess people have a lot of necessities these days, like music concerts and sports.
No, not that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Gail.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
Also. I spoke to Nanda Dula. It's all set.
I know.
Maybe you can at least tell them to put the phone on for my classes there. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello on July 4th? Okay, everyone's out. Spiritually party. We'll end today. That's okay. Sorry. Hare Krishna.